Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate reacting to the weekend that was in football. Ladies and gentlemen, we are glad to have you along for the ride as we do. Clemson loses. South Carolina loses. Regular Carolina loses. I hope all of your high school teams are good because what a craptastic weekend it was for upstate football outside of that. And we're going to get to all of it here in just mere moments from right now when we get to the water cooler cheat sheet. But I have asked this morning for specifically, and I'm going to get to you as well, Panthers fans, because valiant come from behind effort in the second half of that game to take what looked like it was going to be an absolute sheer and entire blowout and make it really interesting, only for the game to end with a wet fart sound of a potential game-winning drive. And I'm going to keep it a buck. I was largely unimpressed by the come-from-behind victory. And I'm going to tell you why coming up here in a little while. However, I have asked for Clemson and South Carolina fans, I have asked for your reaction to your team's games on Saturday. Georgia Tech gets the job done, sends Clemson to 1-2. South Carolina at the crib, Vandy gets the job done, sends South Carolina to 2-1. 2 weeks ago, on this very radio program, I opened the show and said, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that we are about to enter a golden era of upstate football because for the first time since your boy has moved here, and I don't know that it's the first time ever, because one thing I am unfortunately not is a football historian. And by that, I mean somebody with a good long-term memory. But I don't believe that I am unaware of a time when both teams were in the AP top 10 at the same time. I'm not saying it's never happened. I just don't know if it has.
Oh, it's definitely happened, yes.
At least it hasn't in my recent memory.
Springer days, but it's a long time ago.
So it's been a long time, certainly before I got here. So, with that being said, I said, I hope we're about to enter a golden era of football. That was 2 weeks ago. We wake up this morning, neither team's ranked at all. And we're going to get to that.
Nor should they be.
Nor should they be. We're going to get to that here in just a minute. Because it's 7:03 in the morning, and at 7:03 in the morning, we take just a few minutes to tell you about what it is that you're going to be talking about when you get to work. We got a Monday night football game tonight. We got Tuesday, Wednesday, then we roll it all back around on Thursday. So, with that being said, you're all going to go to work today, and you're going to kill time until we get to that Monday night football contest this evening. And then, you're going to kill some time until we get to the Thursday night college and NFL contest on Thursday evening. Killing time at work is one of my favorite things to do. I mean, not me. I don't kill time at work. I'm always a massively productive worker. But you, I get it. I understand it. And if you're going to talk about sports at work in order to kill some time, you've got to know what's going on in the world of sports. And if you've got to know what's going on in the world of sports, worry not. My dear friends, Lonzo and I are here for you at the beginning of every 7 o'clock hour when we do this. It is indeed the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your coworkers, your manager, your boss, whoever it is that you spend time talking with? Well, this is what you're going to be talking about. Let us dive right in with item number one. It's your fade. Yeah, there's your fade. Faded. Faded perfectly, by the way.
Yeah, I know, because it's a normal thing, and you don't need to point out something that we've been doing forever.
You got to me last week that I took your fade away.
Because you tried to change it.
And I gave
it.
Your fade back.
Yeah, I will not fade away.
Because I'm a giver like that. Item number one, let's go to the landscape of the National Football League. We had a couple of games go down that were of some level of influence and importance yesterday. We will start with the one that at least we in this area track. 27-22, the Arizona Cardinals knock off the Carolina Panthers yesterday. Bryce Young with a 3-touchdown day, 3 and a pick to go along with 35 of 55 for 328 yards. The issue for the Carolina Panthers was that they couldn't run the damn ball at all. Chuba Hubbard, 10 carries, 38 yards. No one else had more than 9. The team ran, however, and this is the thing that I find interesting, just 19 times on the day for a grand total of 49 team rushing yards. That is an average, if you're not fast at math like me, of 2.6 yards per carry for the Carolina Panthers. A come-from-behind victory. The team was down 20-3 at the half. It looked like this was going to be a drumming, but Carolina pawed back into this thing. They scored 13 points in the fourth quarter without giving up any, and they gave themselves an opportunity to have a late game-winning drive, except for the only yardage that they gained on that drive was pretty much like multiple penalties called against the Arizona Cardinals. I, to be a complete and total bummer, and somebody who, by the way, I would like to remind you before I have this take, that I selected the Carolina Panthers to win the NFC South this year. This was not blowing smoke. I selected them on nationally syndicated radio programs to win the NFC South. I put myself out there with the potential to look like a fool, and boy, howdy, kinda, maybe, sorta, do I. It is 2 games. A lot of football left, but like, not a lot of football left, right? So, I was unimpressed by this come-from-behind effort from the Panthers. Why was I unimpressed? Because Arizona just played like 2.5 quarters of prevent defense football. Like, go watch the tape. In the third quarter and in the early fourth quarter, Arizona was bringing forward. They're like, hey, if you want to dink and dunk for 3, 4, 5, 6 yards a pass up and down the field, fine. Burn all the clock you want to. And then on the final 2 drives for the Panthers, Arizona started bringing guys again. They started playing defense like they did in the first half when the Panthers found 3 total points, and the offense went right back to looking inept. I'm unimpressed. I as a guy who needs Carolina to look good so that I can not look like a moron on some of these shows that I guest on, this team was largely uninspiring in a road loss at Arizona. We're going to come back around to that one later on in the show, but a couple of other scores and news and notes and stuff and whatnot that was important. The Jags lose at Cincinnati, 31-27. Trevor Lawrence, 24-42, 271, and 3 touchdowns in that game. That's not the story. The story is Joey Burrow knocked out in the third quarter of this game, and it looks like he has our first case of death toe.
It's not good. It's not good. And would you consider, I know it's not a good thing to say, that Joe Burrow is injury prone?
I would say Joey Burrow is get that guy out from behind that offensive line prone.
So he's injury prone. I mean, how many seasons has he completed now?
I get
the offensive line is a problem, and I get the Cincinnati doesn't get the offensive line is the problem.
Clearly not.
So
you know what this is
if
like?
If you're injury prone, but it's not your fault, then you're not injury prone.
This is like if somebody, and again, this would be a dumb thing to do. I'm not saying that Joey B going behind this offensive line is the same thing as this, but that would be like if a guy like walked across Woodruff Road and got hit by a car, went to the hospital, came back, got healthy, and then the day he got healthy, he walked across Woodruff Road and got hit by a car, and then you took him out and you had him healthy, and then he walked across Woodruff Road and got hit by a car, you wouldn't go, that guy's injury prone. You'd go, maybe stop letting the guy walk in front of cars. Yes, if you get hit by a car, you're going to get injured. That's Joey Burrow right now.
I just want to say that's probably the best analogy that you've ever had.
Yeah, I kind of stuck the landing on that one.
That was a good job.
Kind of stuck the landing on that one. And last night, the Atlanta Falcons with a 22-6 victory on the road over Minnesota. They get it done. Really not with touchdowns. Michael Penix Jr., 13 of 21, 135, no tutties, no picks in that one. Bijan Robinson had a day, 22 totes, 143 yards. Tyler Allgeier had the only touchdown. He rushed 16 times for 76 yards. I ordinarily would not make a statement of such certainty after two games. Guys, I don't think J.J. McCarthy's a good quarterback. Now, maybe he Peyton Mannings us, right? Maybe he Peyton Mannings us. Maybe he has a craptastic rookie year, and maybe it does take a little Kevin O'Connell love to get him right, and J.J. McCarthy comes back and he blows us all the way down the line. But we're two games in, and I'm going to say probably not. 11 of 21, 158, zero tutties, two interceptions in that game. It was not ideal. To the college football landscape we go for item number two. We have already spoketh about the two losses sustained by Clemson and South Carolina. We're going to continue doing that throughout this hour of the radio program, but we do have a couple of things that we need to get to. First and foremost, the 2025 AP poll after week four, because we have week zero, and then we played 3 weeks, and now we're at week numbers. Ohio State, not a consensus number one, but they will hang on to their number one spot at 3-0. They are just out ahead of Big Ten rival Penn State, who has five first place votes to Ohio State's 55. They are at number two. LSU got it done against Florida. Five interceptions thrown by the Gators. LSU won by 10. Now that Clemson is 1-2, now that LSU it took forever to get going against a cupcake in week two, and now that they had to bust their ass to win by 10 in a game they had five interceptions against Florida. Guys, I think maybe LSU, maybe it's a little overhyped. We'll find out. Miami has gained three first place votes. They move to number four. Georgia rounds out your top five. Descending after that, Oregon will drop two spots down to number six. They do have one first place vote. Florida State moves up, despite being idle, moves up three spots to number seven, and they leapfrog Texas because Arch Manning looks bad. It's no longer he doesn't look like the bill of goods that we were sold. He just looks bad. Texas drops to number eight. Illinois stays at number nine. The Aggies of Texas A&M go on the road and in front of the outstretched arms of touchdown Jesus, get it done against Notre Dame up six spots. Texas A&M now inside the top 10. They leapfrog Oklahoma, Iowa State, and Ole Miss 11, 12, and 13. Alabama somehow moves up five spots to number, not somehow. They put them on it this weekend. They put it on Wisconsin this weekend. They move up to number 14. Tennessee, despite a loss to Georgia, stays put at number 15. Utah and Texas Tech, 16 and 17, both move up four spots. Georgia Tech, after the home win over Clemson, now inside of the top 25. They were unranked last week. They are now number 18. Indiana up three spots to 19. Vanderbilt, after the win over South Carolina on rank last week, they move up to number 20. Michigan, Auburn, Mizzou. How is Notre Dame winless and inside the top 25? Say, just anybody explain to me, how is Notre Dame 0-2, winless on the football season, and ranked?
Well, it's
what are we doing?
It's obvious, Rob Brown. It's how they lost. I mean, you know, I mean, there are losses, and then there are Notre Dame losses. There's a difference.
How in the gold and blue hell is this team in the top 25? All right, and USC at 3-0. By the way, if you're
just
USC,
out of teams, so they had to put somebody in there. I don't know.
If you're USC, you have got to be PO'd this AM, right? You are 3-0, and you are behind 0-2 Notre Dame. Your three wins are not as good as Notre Dame's two losses were. USC? USC's 3-0. Granted, a team that like nobody had any aspiration for this year, they are 3-0, and Notre Dame's three losses aren't as good as USC's three wins aren't as good as Notre Dame's two losses. Just anybody, somebody, explain it to me, would you? Please, I'm begging you. All right, a couple of other stories very quickly before we get to item number three. UCLA has fired head coach Deshaun Foster. The Bruins 0-3 to open the year, including a blowout loss to Utah.
Why are they not ranked?
That's fair enough. The you ain't won a game clearly ain't a thing anymore. Deshaun Foster, I'm going to tell you why. Because they lost 43-10 at Utah in their only power game, and they have lost back-to-back against Mountain West teams. Yep, that'll do it. Deshaun Foster finishes his time at UCLA with a 5-10 overall record. Brent Pry has been fired by Virginia Tech. He got cut yesterday after a 45-26 home loss to Old Dominion. The Monarchs, baby! The Monarchs ain't no joke. That's a little powerhouse there. At ODU, yeah. Brent Pry loses his job. I told you he was probably the number one coach on the ACC hot seat. Dave Doran up next. Let's get to item number three. Two off-brand stories. Maybe not like...
Are you doing kung fu?
Getting full segments here on the show. I'm Keanu Reeves. I know kung fu. Two off-brand stories about smaller sports that aren't going to get as much time in the sun, but I do think these things are important. Scotty Scheffler's good at golf. Have we brought that up on the show before? I don't know. He captured the Pro Court Championship yesterday, a 5-under 67 to lead Ben Griffin to a one-shot victory. It was Scheffler's sixth PGA Tour of the year. I bring this story up here for two reasons. Number one, Scotty Scheffler has joined elite company. Here is the list of golfers that have won six titles in consecutive years. Are you ready? Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, Scottie Scheffler. That's it. That's the list. In the history of professional golf, four guys have won six times in more than 1 year in a row. In consecutive years. Those four guys are all now one-name guys. Tiger, Jack, Arnie, Scotty. Those are your dudes. And over to the WNBA, the Las Vegas Aces opened up their WNBA playoff run with a 102-77 victory on the back of 29 points and 8 boards from former South Carolina Gamecock Asia Wilson. That is a story. Another part of this story. That is the 17th consecutive victory for the Las Vegas Aces. They are now just one shy of tying the all-time consecutive victories mark set back in 2001 by the Los Angeles Sparks. A victory in Game 2, and Las Vegas will tie the consecutive victory streak with the 0-1 Sparks. Two more victories, they will win this series and take the number one consecutive win position. Second part of the story, AJ Wilson moves to 10th. In the WNBA's all-time playoff points record books, and has very well set her sights on taking over at number 9. She could move into that spot as early as game number 2. She has 878 points in 44 games. She is chasing down Simone Augustus, who had 901 points at the time she retired. Augustus, a WNBA Hall of Famer. By the way, I said win three. I apologize. I did forget. This is on me. I'm a bad fan. That the opening series is a best of three. So if they are victorious to tie the record tomorrow night against Seattle, they will actually win this series. And the streak-setting victory would be game one of the next round. Asia Wilson had a night. The Aces now 1 point. And by the way, she's going to win the WNBA MVP. And she is going to become the first WNBA player to win four MVP awards because Asia Wilson is him. What an absolute gangsta she is being right now. All right, let's take a break. Two things that I would like to do in this hour of the show. When we come back, I will give my initial comments on the Clemson loss on the road at Georgia Tech. And I will do my best and probably fail miserable to not say, told you, We'll get to that coming up in the next segment. And then to wrap up this hour, we're going to play a little game called Pause or Panic. I've put together a list of teams. We are going to take a look at these teams. And in just a couple of minutes for each, we are going to say, do we need to pause? Take a breath. Relax. Woosah. This team's going to be okay. Or do we need to flip over the plastic cover and slam the little red panic button about these squads in both college and the NFL? We'll do that to wrap up the hour. All of that coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
We spent the first hour talking about South Carolina's loss this past weekend, whichever weekend it was, at home to Vanderbilt.
2 days ago.
2 days. Yes, 2 days ago to Vanderbilt.
You had to think, Sunday? Saturday.
Everything's a blur. I'm not gonna lie to you. Now let's talk about Clemson's. I'm going to start with this. I am, on your behalf, Clemson fans, absolutely over the platitudes. I really am. Like, I am over the platitudes. Now, if you are happy being a team that has to fight its way into the ACC title game, if you are happy having to fight for your life in the ACC title game, for the right to go to the playoffs and get hammered in the playoffs by a team from the Big Ten or the Southeastern Conference.
Sounds familiar. Sounds like last year.
Yeah. If you are happy with that, then by all means, pat yourself on the back and talk about the 10-win seasons and talk about the national championships from days gone by and, you know, talk about how you've got a special group of guys and talk about how great it is that the program is full of former Clemson guys and that Dabo has, you know, got his guys in there and whatever. That's fine. Talk about all that. If you are happy with having a bunch of seasons that have results like you had last year, by all means, feel free. But I'm going to tell you right now, I do not want to jump the gun on Florida State, but that looks like a better football team right now. Because I told you back in June and July of this year that Georgia Tech v. Clemson was an absolute upset alert game, and that was before the season started. Going into the season, when just about everybody was picking Clemson as the consensus Atlantic Coast Conference winner, even when that was happening, I was saying, guys, watch out for that Georgia Tech game. That's a scary game for you.
By the way, I apologize. I thought Clemson was the ACC. I guess I was wrong.
So, if that
I feel so bad about that.
You also thought they were little old Vanderbilt. I'm telling you, these teams are no joke anymore. And it's good, by the way.
You go back and listen to how sarcastic I was about the Vanderbilt thing.
By the way.
I actually believed that, though. So that's
there it is.
Yeah.
There it is. My sense of sarcasm is pretty finely tuned, except for Lonzo has a black belt in sarcasm, so he slips it by me sometimes. I didn't think you were being sarcastic. I mean, you were being sarcastic in the way you presented it, but I don't think you were being sarcastic in the little old Vanderbilt take, which is why I said, I hope South Carolina doesn't come into this game with the same mindset you have, because Vandy will beat you at the crib, and I think they did. Now, as far as Clemson goes, Clemson fans, if you are happy with how last year shook out, by all means, pat yourself on the back, talk about the 10-win seasons, talk about the national championships, talk about it all. I'm good with that. But if you want your program to remain the crown jewel of this conference, if you want your program to be in consistent contention for this conference's championship, if you want your team to annually be considered a threat to go win the national championship, then you better start calling for change. You better. Because as much as I am in on Georgia Tech being on an upward trajectory, and if you did not believe me going into last weekend, you believe me now. I'm not saying I'm right about everything, but I'm right about a lot. And that was one of those things. This one, less than South Carolina. This one I'm not really going to put on player effort, because I don't think that this team, doesn't try, right? Like I've already called South Carolina out. I think they rolled over. I think they rolled over when Lenoris went down. And that's disappointing because I didn't expect that out of them. It's kind of like when you bring home C's on the report card and the dad goes, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed because I know you can do better. That's kind of where I was with that team. I'm at the point now where I have to think, guys, maybe we were just bamboozled. Maybe this football team's not that good. Like, I think that's where I'm at. Because, again, on paper, yes. On paper, you're better than Georgia Tech. That is why everybody and they mama, with rare exception, picked Clemson. For the record, as much as I said, you're on upset alert, as much as I said back in May, June, July of this year, that this was an upset alert game, even if Clemson was as good as they are supposed to be, this is an upset alert game because Georgia Tech, like, this is a Super Bowl game for them. This is a, even if we finish 8-4, if we're the ones that ended Clemson's run before Clemson's run, at least in the conference, even got started, we can hang the old gold and white hat on that. Even as somebody who said all of that, I still picked you to win this weekend. That being said, I just don't think you're that good. Really. Like, I just don't think you're that good now. I'm at this point, I am going to say, I think Cade Klubnik is, correct me if I'm wrong, if any of you want to push back against this, I'm good with it. I think Cade Klubnik's the biggest disappointment in college football this year. Well, I'd take that back. No, you know what? To me, he is. Because I was never one of the guys that was in on the Arch Manning is everything hype train. And Arch stinks right now. He just stinks.
Yeah, we were right. I was with you on that. And so is Steve Spurrier. Spurrier was absolutely right.
Me, Lonzo, and Steve Spurrier.
Three amigos.
Three amigos. Nailed it. That's why, to me, Arch isn't a disappointment. Because a disappointment requires you to have expectations that you can be disappointed from, in, by, whatever. I didn't have any expectations of Arch Manning. I was the guy coming into the season on big shows, which I will be on BetMGM tomorrow night, and I will be saying to those fellas, what? Like, why did you go all in? I think it's fair to ask, why did you go all in on Arch Manning? Cade Klubnik, I did have expectations for. And I think all of you did too. But now it is fair to point out. Well, it was already fair to point out. But now it is fair to point out, as we did last week, the statistic against Southeastern Conference teams. Cade Klubnik was 3-5 with 3 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. And you guys said, wait a minute, Rob. Come on now. You're getting rid of all the other statistics. Yeah, no, I am. Because I am to the point now where I have joined the ranks of the haters, man. I think he stat padded a little bit last year, right? Like, we talked about the numbers were exceptional last year. But looking back at it, in a year that even the hardcore amongst you, I think, had to admit, the ACC was not good at football last year. I'm not saying they're great at football this year. They're a better conference this year. Like, I tried to tell you that going in. Not great, but they're a better conference this year. And I said you better be careful, because if the haters, man, that have said that Cade Klubnik stat padded against bad ACC games and didn't show up in the games where it mattered, 15 of 26, 207, one touchdown, one interception in this game.
So would you say that Cade Klubnik's the reason why they lost?
No, I absolutely would not. Okay, I would say he is a reason.
Because a lot of people are saying that, and I'm with them. I think we've pointed out before how he plays. If he plays well, they're going to win. If he doesn't, they're going to lose. That's just how it is at Clemson. That way on a lot of teams, but it's for sure that way with this team.
I would not entirely disagree with that, right? But not entirely disagree with that. I think there's more to it than that. Here's one, for instance. I know that there was a lot of conversation. I know there was a lot of conversation about Cade Klubnik running more. And I'm good with that. Adam Randall had 15 carries in this game. 15 carries, 80 yards, a 5.3 per carry average, one touchdown. He did include in that 80 yards one late game 30-yard rumble. Take that off the board, you're looking at 14 carries, 50 yards. Like, not great, right? Not great. Adam Randall had 15 carries. How many carries, and obviously this includes his scramble numbers, but how many carries did Cade Klubnik have in this game? 17! 17. You're running back. Now, I am going to say what I said preseason was my big concern. Remember before the season, we did our three big questions series, where of every team that was ranked in the top 25, I had three questions about them. And question number one for the Clemson Tigers was very simple. Can you run the football? Because you know Rob Brown is a big believer in run the damn ball. And I said, all right, hang on here. There were running backs in the transfer portal and available. You could have had one. You didn't get one. You had running backs available, and you did not go get one. You did not recruit your next big, great running back. So the best option you had was to convert a wide receiver to running back. And I think at this point we can look and, to me in fairness, say the Adam Randall experiment, it isn't working.
The play-by-play and color analysts were sure hyping that a lot.
Sure. Sure. And I am going to say that, and if you don't agree with me, we can have it out. But I am going to say, I think Clemson to some degree has worked their way into the position of media darling. Like, really, I want you, who in the big talking head media, until the last week, coming into this year, who had questions about this team? Like, who was going to, I think we're jumping the gun on Clemson a little bit here. I don't know of anybody.
By the way, I believe, and I could be wrong, I believe everybody on game day picked Clemson to lose except for their boy, Kirk Herbstreit.
I think it's fair. But again, that was all a recent development.
I'm just saying some people have started to see the signs.
I don't disagree.
That you talked about early on.
I don't disagree, but it all started after the Troy game. I told you this in the off season. I told you this in the run up to the season. You got problems, right? And when I look at this, I'm not even saying Adam Randall could not be a good running back, a converted successful running back. Here's what I am going to say. I think there are two things that are preventing him from doing it. The first thing I think is preventing him from doing it is the play calling. Like, there is, to me, zero effort to truly establish a run from this football team. It's like as soon as the run game doesn't get off to a hot start, this team gets away from the run game. They're just like, oh, nope, it's all on Cade now. Number two, I don't think Cade's the guy you want to have it all on. Because I think we can now look and say it is a trend that in the highest pressure games, Cade is fine at best. Like, he is fine at best. The second thing, aside from play calling, that I think is the problem for Adam Randall is, and this hurts me to say, because I love this dude as a dude. I love him as a guy. I've gotten to talk to him multiple times. I'm a huge fan. I'm a New Orleans Saints fan. I loved what C.J. Spiller did for my NFL team. He was a ball to watch play down in the Big Easy. In what world has C.J. Spiller shown you that he's ready to be a running backs coach at a Power 5 football program that has championship expectations?
Is that his fault, though? I mean, does he have anything to do with the recruiting of running backs?
No.
Can he only coach who he has?
Well, no. He is absolutely part of the process of recruiting running backs.
Is he?
Okay. Position coaches are absolutely part of who is playing at their position. But even if that wasn't true, I can still tell you, do you know what I believe? Do you know what the number one problem for the Clemson Tiger is right now? Player development. Player development. Is there any concept of player development right now? And if there is none, that to me is on two things. Number one, it's on position coaches outright. And number two, it's on whoever put them in the position to be position coaches. That's Dabo Swinney. So I'm tired of the platitudes. I'm tired of the post-game press conferences of, well, you know, we didn't make the big plays, but hey, we won 10 games last year, and we did this, and we did that, we did that. That's all in the past. And again, if you are in the group of Dabo Swinney has earned lifetime employment, by all means, ask him to change nothing. Just be you, Clemson, and be happy with fist-fighting your way to the occasional ACC title game and either missing the playoffs or going and getting your ass kicked in round number one, because that's where you are right now. And to be honest right now, you're not in the top 25. You're not even a favorite. You know, ESPN, I don't love these numbers all the time. ESPN says you have a 5.7% chance of making the playoffs. That requires you to win the ACC. You know who's in front of you in the ACC right now? Every team that has one ACC win, you've got to come from behind against all of them. Good luck. Good luck. All right. Some of you guys have gotten into the chat. We're going to respond to those comments coming back here in just a minute. I'm Rob. He's Lonzo. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to make an executive decision for two reasons. Number one, short of myself on time here. Number two, because enough of you have reacted and have commentary on the Clemson loss to Georgia Tech that I want to get your time in the sun to wrap up this hour of the show. So we will do Pause or Panic coming up in the next hour of the show. We will also be joined by John Blau of the Post and Courier. In a little under an hour from right now, he covers the Clemson Tigers. We'll get his thought on the L and where Los Tigres go from here. But we have got some shout outs on the text line and on the live stream commentary. I am looking for you to add to the conversation. The text line / call in number is 844-326-3663. 844-FANFO. You can text that number. We will read them on the air. You can call that number and get on the air. You can also join us on our live stream, which we are streaming all 4 hours of the show live at facebook.com/thefanupstate, the Fan Upstate on YouTube, the Fan Upstate on Twitter, the Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. Find us, like us, love us, subscribe to us, and watch us 4 hours a day, 5 hours, 5 days a week. Let's get to some of the thoughts. Texter said, here is my, oh, it's from Joey. Here is my Nostra dumbass prediction for Clemson. I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I normally I don't like the cursing, but that's pretty fun.
I like that a lot. Yeah. Here is my Nostra dumbass prediction for Clemson and USC's final record. Both finish 5-7 with the Gamecocks getting the W in the final week. End quote.
To be bowl eligible.
Neither one would be bowl eligible if they're both 5-7. Okay, no, he said both finish 5-7.
In order for them to,
South Carolina gets a win to get to 5-7.
I get it now. I'm slow. Okay. But you do that.
You know, I would, I don't know. Like, on one hand, I would say South Carolina's win to Virginia Tech. All right, fine. Bad football team. They lost to Old Dominion and got their coach fired. Bad football team, but you won. The win against Georgia or against South Carolina State, fine. Took you a while to get going. Special teams bailed you out on that one, but you got the dub. And you lost to a good Vanderbilt team. I'm tired of y'all pretending they're not a good team. And then Clemson, you lost to LSU. Now, I will say this, as I did back in hour number one, and we're going to get back to this here in a little while because we're going to react to our AP poll coming up here in a little while. Guys, I think LSU is overrated at number three. I think LSU is overrated. And I think that the domination against Clemson, which it was, but the fact that you could never really pull away from that, even with a touchdown pulled off the board, you couldn't really pull away from Clemson, who is now 1-2 with a loss to Georgia Tech. Another team, good team. I'm tired of you pretending it's not, but they're 1-2. And the 1-1-2 was not a particularly impressive performance at home against Troy. I think LSU might be a little overrated. Lonzo sent me a screen cap a minute ago. ESPN's football prediction matchup simulator prediction thing gives Vandy, who just beat South Carolina, a 60% chance to beat LSU. That impacts both teams. It certainly makes South Carolina's L look a little better, but it kind of makes Clemson's L against LSU look a little more tragic. We'll come back around to that. Texter said, Rob, I must be mishearing you. Clemson will lose at least 4 more games this year. I appreciate the pity, but we have moved past that point now. Texter said, Cade's turf monster play about sums our season up. That's from Shane in Sugar Tit. Shane, I want to thank you for both the text and giving me the reason to say Sugar Tit on the radio one more time.
Don't get ready many texts from there.
We really don't. I need to get up to Sugar Tit. I still haven't been specific. I've been to Sugar Tit Distillery. It's phenomenal moonshine. I need to get to Sugar Tit, South Carolina for two reasons. Number one, because I want to see what's in Sugar Tit, South Carolina. And number two, because if I go to Sugar Tit, South Carolina, I can set the over-under number of times I say Sugar Tit, South Carolina on the radio the next day at 100. Hammer the over. Texter said, I like both Clemson and Georgia Tech, so regardless of who won, I was okay with, but I'm kind of wanting Clemson to come off the high horse because I think they're a little overrated. Not anymore. They're not rated. 2 weeks ago, we were celebrating that South Carolina and Clemson were both in the AP top 10. 2 weeks later, neither one of them is at this point. Here's a couple of comments from the live chat text. Steven said, I put the loss squarely on Cade because the fumble and the interception when we were going in, obviously, for at least 3 points and then not picking up enough yards for the field goal try, that was missed. Joey B says, the former players who called them out are correct. Clemson does not play with any heart and hasn't done so regularly since 2020. And that lack of heart and fight starts at the very top with Dabo. Joey B, I like that text. And let me add on to it. This is why, as much as some of y'all think I'm just being a hater, man, this is why I say I'm not. Because that, shucks, poor little old Clemson, you know, we won 10 last year, we're this, we're that, we're that. This is what happens when you do that, in my opinion, right? This is my take on how that happens. I am a big believer in believing in yourself and your abilities and having confidence in yourself. Big believer. I'm working on it. That is a daily struggle for me. You know what else I'm a big fan of? Looking in the mirror at night and calling myself a piece of, because I didn't do what I know I can do. Right? Looking in the mirror because over the weekend I went to 209 pounds when I was at 202 a week and a half ago. I quite literally out loud call myself a piece of this morning because I know I could have got to 200 and I needed to lose 2 more. Now I got to lose 9 to get there. I'm a believer in that. I'm a believer in calling yourself out. when you don't live up to your expectation. And I'm not saying expectation is win every game. I'm saying expectation is play like it matters that you do. And I ask both of your teams, do you think, do you believe, honestly, be honest with yourself and with me, do either one of you believe that your team played anywhere close to what your expectations of your team were this weekend? Because the answer to me is an easy no. Joey B. went on to say, a loss like that should have any coach with NC aspirations, national championship, not North Carolina. Any coach with national champ aspirations, furious and on the warpath, but Dabo just laughs it off and changes nothing. That's what I'm saying. This is why I say, quit with the platitudes. Quit with the, oh, why don't we focus on what we've done? Well, Dabs, because it's 2025, not 2024 or 23 or 22 or 21 or 20. Because it has been now, in my opinion, on the outside looking in, it is my opinion that this team has not looked like your 2018 team in terms of effort, in terms of gutting it out, like since 2020. And it's like every time you are given a chance to say, I'm not happy, this is where we are. I listened this morning to Dabo again, to Dabo's post-game press conference after the L to Tech this weekend. You know where he starts with? Well, you know, they made the plays and we didn't, and they deserve to win. But, you know, the only thing worse than 1-2 is 1-3. So we're going to come out and find a way to win a football. I was like, dude, what? Like, what are we doing?
He's accurate in everything he said, though, right? I mean, all the stuff that you just said he said, I mean, he's not wrong.
No, he's not wrong, but, like, is that it? We're good with, like, we're just good with that? I mean, if you're good with that, cool. You're going to, like, go 8-4. Go 7-5. But for a team that had national championship expectations, to go, we're happy because you know we won 10. All right, cool. Enjoy it. Enjoy your 7-5 missing out on the ACC title game in a year where you were consensus pick to get it. Now enjoy this sports flash.
Unless you're a Carolina Panther fan, because Carolina Panthers are now 0-2 as they fell to the Arizona Cardinals yesterday, 27-22. Bryce Young threw for 328 yards and 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, but Carolina had just 49 yards rushing on 19 total carries. Kyler Murray had 320 yards, also known as 220 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow could miss significant time with what is feared to be a turf toe injury. Sustained a 31-27 win over Jacksonville, images of Burrow's left toe were sent to a specialist to determine if surgery is required, which could cost Burrow 3 months or more of the season. The Atlanta Braves picked up an 8-3 win against Houston yesterday. Atlanta had 11 hits on the day, including multi-hit days from Matt Olson, Ozzie Albies, and Haesung Kim. The Braves kick off a 4-game set at Washington tonight. Hour number 3 of the Rob Brown Show is coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.